Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji, I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, hey, hey. Can't quite do it like the Queen, Dr. Tanji. And that's because you're used to seeing me over there in the co-pilot seat as producer. I'm Jeannie Jones, the kitty of this city. Meow. And I am guest starring for Dr. Tanji today on the show that was based on Kingdom Principles. And it's really designed to help you to get from where you are to where you want to be. And I am in the Dr. Tanji Lounge with what I call him, the Ninja Warrior co-producer. What's up, KJ Powell?
Hey, how you doing? Happy hump day, everybody.
Look at you. Okay. All right. Hump day in the building. But we want to send out prayers and love to Dr. Tanji. Feeling a little under the weather, but if you look at her Facebook, if you follow her on Instagram, you know that that's just going like, she's going to brush that off, right? You know, take a few vegetables and get a little bit of rest and be back here stronger than ever. So we love you. We miss you and see you here next week. Or actually, I'll tell you exactly how you'll be able to interact with her in a few days and any other time you want to. But today's focus is on leadership. Dr. Tanji is an avid reader, studier of Miles Monroe, who, you know, founded everything, the late great Miles Monroe, on everything on Kingdom Principles and how to live an abundant life, how to be prosperous, how to be powerful, and actually just to be who you were designed to be from the beginning. God doesn't make mistakes. We say that all the time, and it really, really is the truth. And we also have a special guest coming to the show who is living in her purpose. And, you know, she was living in her purpose and believed she was doing everything she's supposed to be doing, had hiccups and bumps in life like we all do all day, every day. But it's going to be interesting to hear how she evolved and something that she's bringing to the table to help moms, children, and just living in her purpose. So can't wait to introduce you to her in just a few minutes. But first, again, we're talking about leadership and what that looks like, who's called to lead, when you decide when you're going to lead, when you feel comfortable leading. And when I think about Miles Monroe, he did a quote that said, "You must decide if you are going to rob the world or bless it with the rich, valuable, potent, untapped resources locked away within you." That's a lot. That's very powerful. And when you think about leadership, KJ, who comes to mind for you?
Martin Luther King comes to mind.
Okay.
I personally look up to Steph Curry and Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. Because, like, I come from a sports background, and so seeing them actually lead their team's championship, that's a perfect example of leadership for me.
And I love those guys too, and especially Steph and LeBron too. I mean, because the sports aspect of it is a key component, because in a lot of communities, I mean, that's who a lot of young boys and men look up to. But I admire them for what they do on the court, but I've come to appreciate them even more for what they do off the court. You know, we're very clear about LeBron's school. He's gone back into his community and, you know, creating quality education and exposure for kids in Ohio. And what Steph and his wife Aisha consistently do in business and media, and now their new outreach is Play, Run, Live, something like that. They just launched it a few days ago, where they're taking children and making sure that they're active, that they are healthy physically and mentally, and providing them with resources they wouldn't actually have an opportunity to get. So I look at their leadership from that standpoint, and planting those seeds is what creates other leaders, you know, and for me, you know what, KJ, I love leaders. I mean, being in the industry, I'm around people who are always in the spotlight, but I have come to be very passionate about people that you don't normally see, that don't hit the TV, that don't make it to the blogs. It's the community leaders on the block who make sure that there are healthy relationships between our boys of color and men with the police. I love coaches. Mm-hmm. I love coaches because a lot of times dad's not home, mom's not home from working or absent, period. And those are the people, the teachers, the coaches, the counselors, the shout out to all the camp leaders and counselors, because they're the ones who step in part of that village and lead. And it's little things that they say or how they live their lives or lifestyles that children and even young adults and some of us will look at and like, you know what, let me flip what I'm doing, or it will spark an inspiration that if you're doing something one way, somebody else's light, just the way they walk, the way they talk, what they do every day. I'm just talking about every day living.
It's that silent leader.
Exactly.
That silent leader.
Exactly.
Like, it's not for me. I'm doing it for somebody else. I don't know who's watching me. So I need to be on my best behavior.
Like all the time. And we talk about leadership and we look at the challenging leadership that we have from the White House all the way down to, I like to look at our mayors, people who are the community leaders right on our blocks. And you have to ask, I mean, what are they doing to, you know, uplift the world and the climate that we're living in, which isn't too good right now. We're going into this heavy political season 2020. And that's all day, every day about President Trump and how he represents himself in the past, right now, and being in the highest seat in the United States in office, how he conducts himself, what comes out of his mouth. And a lot of people challenge it. I have found more people now questioning who may have been supporters of his after, you know, a recent comment, you know, telling people to go back where they're from. And that has been a common theme. What is your view as a college student? You know, how does that make you feel? Millennium, you know, a wave. You guys are definitely in the pulpit of leading now. But like I said, I look at my daughter who just turned 11, and they're that next wave that will determine how you and I are going to live when we're a little bit older. So, you know, how do you feel right now with the climate of the country and the leaders that we have?
Particularly the climate of the country, I feel like there is not enough love being shown. It's mainly the hate. And with those comments that President Trump just said, it kind of brings back like, oh, if I don't agree with what you're saying, then I'm just going to disregard you. But a true leader would actually look at the situation and see, okay, how can we work together, even though we do not fully agree? And if we don't
it's one thing
come
agree,
together.
You just don't give a damn. I don't mean any harm. And a lot of people, they get really sensitive and rightfully so. But Trump is actually, but he's always been Trump though. So that at the same time, and you'll see where I'm going with this in terms of the principle of leadership, Trump has been consistent actually in who he is, you know, from whether you knew him from real estate in New York to, you know, he showed all of his colors on The Apprentice in terms of how he feels. You know, this is how I play my chess game. And either you with me, and if you're not, you against me. And he's carried that on. So the question becomes, in leadership, you have that top tier, but I think it hits way before then. What are we doing in our own communities, in our own friendships, in our own families, in our own church communities, in our own organizations to be a leader? Again, we're discussing the principles of leadership, and leaders increase the betterment of other people. Like you just said, KJ.
They add value out of the minimum. So you have to start with your family, with your friends. You're just not put into that position.
Right, right. It's a development. It's a process. It's a process. Leaders are against injustice. Everything I'm saying a leader is kind of going against everybody who's leading us. Help us, please. And also, they always work on behalf of humans. They help humans expand and achieve greatness.
Wow.
Again, it's a lot of what we're not seeing. And so we question Dr. Tanji's VIPs. That's you watching. That's you listening. What are you doing just right where you are? I think too, a lot of people get unfocused with thinking you have to be in an organization. You have to be a celebrity. You have to be an artist. And I want to challenge everybody that we know. I'm challenging you, KJ, myself, all of Dr. Tanji's VIPs. And this is something that we talk about off mic all the time in terms of what we're doing to make an impact on this show and everything else we're doing in media, to create more awareness and leadership in what we're doing. And I think we have to think about what we're doing with where we are with just what we have, mm-hmm. and realizing that that is enough. You know, so again, we're going into we're always in a voting season. That's another thing. I want to get out of this wave of, you know, it's only political season and only when it's time to vote. No, we're voting every day. We're only here for X amount of time. We only are awake X amount of hours in the day. You know, this thing we call life, this journey, it's really not that long. And I always look at it, every day that goes by isn't coming back. When I say that, that immediately puts things in perspective. When we're very clear, we don't know when God is going to call us home. Anything can happen in any given time, no matter the age, where you are, what your area code is, your prosperity level. So in saying that, you know, we want to encourage you to lead where you are. It's going to make a difference. And again, saying all that to say, not just focusing on the vote of the political process. You may be like most people, not even into politics, don't know anything about it, not interested in it, because of the tainted and the hate that we've consistently seen projected. So I think that's where you, I, and everybody's listening and watching, I'm challenging us to do better with where we are. Dr. Miles Monroe also has seven attitudes of leaders. And I want to go through that before we introduce our amazing guest. And KJ, interested in your perspective on this in terms of the attitudes of leadership. One is, leaders don't wait. When has been a situation in your life or a mentor or an example of somebody where they didn't wait or you didn't wait?
For me, I act. I'm in the industry. I auditioned. And for me, I get tired of waiting. So sometimes I would have to create content for myself so I can maximize the time that I have left.
Right.
And what Dr. Miles Monroe teaches is that leaderships know how to manage, and it goes into your time. So because he says God gave us dominion over the earth, so let's manage what we have right now, just like you just said. And so I had to manage the time that I have and create, write scripts, prepare my auditions, prepare for the future of what's going to come.
And you just said a keyword I love so much, prepare. I don't know that we can get anything done on the levels that we need to or desire to without preparation. So kudos to that. And another reason for all of the ills that do happen with social media, I'm in love with it just from that standpoint. Whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're in the entertainment business, whatever your thing is, whatever it is, the influence and power to lead that we can have right from social media and creating platforms on our own. Mm-hmm. Gone are the days of having to wait. You can lead with your very own platform. Another key principle in leadership, leaders know character. Character counts. Leaders are well known for protecting their character. Wow. That is interesting in and of itself, because I don't know that we have multiple examples of people who protect their character. We live more in a society where what I do, what I feel, that's just, it is what it is. Whether I'm affecting that child or that person across the street, whatever. We're very, whatever, you know, whatever I got to do is going to be done in 60 seconds. After that, you on your own type society.
And it goes into what you just said. Leaders are pro-human. They care about the injustice. And if
right.
you care about your character, then you should really care about everybody else who's around you as well.
Well, again, I'm challenging Dr. Tanji's VIPs, all the listeners. We are the VIP warriors for Dr. Tanji. I mean, do the best that you can, and you'd be surprised how you are inspiring somebody. I can't tell you how many times with me doing radio and television, it was at times, it wasn't when I was on big, you know, stages like the Staples Center or Verizon Center or MCI, you know, these big, big venues. It was when I was at job fairs, when I was at community camp with kids doing mentoring sessions, did people come back to me as soon as yesterday, a year from now, a couple of years ago, say, Gina, you made a difference in my life. You told me X, Y, and Z, or you gave me a shout out on the radio and that stopped me from committing suicide. And I'm like, whoa, those are my whoa moments. I'm like, oh,
the little things, the
yep.
little, a smile,
yep.
a smile can go
yep.
a long way.
Yep. Or I was watching you and how you conducted this situation. Might not have been the best situation, might have been even been a bad situation. You know what I mean? But how you handled it and the outcome is really important. So you could be changing lives or influencing the next president of the United States by something you're doing right on your block. Trust me. Another leadership principle. True leaders must be aware of their values. They must be aware of their values. You know, a value system is really critical. I noticed, and I didn't really even notice this as much, KJ, until I became a parent, because I, you know, my mentoring program, I feel like, I mean, I've raised, you know, hundreds and, you know, of children from elementary to collegiate level. And I didn't really have to put a lot of my values in check until I became a parent. I'm like, oh, this is why really? This is even more important. Yeah, because again, my mentoring sessions, they 2 hours, they are a week long. Then they're gone back with their parents. Being a parent, no, baby don't go anywhere. This is a lifelong commitment. The shift is a little bit different. So I think the question is, what level are your values on and when do you reassess them?
Every day. It's an everyday thing.
Every day. Everyday thing. Well, the question is, that's great. Do you do that? I'm asking anyone else, how do you assess your values? I mean, how important are they? Do you allow other people to change your values?
I say for that statement, you have to first be grounded in what you believe in. And then, okay, now let me go talk to other people and have an open-minded understanding.
Let me ask you this, KJ. So you can tell me, you've never been in a relationship or a friendship where what they say or feel interferes or changes how you think or feel? Like never, ever?
How I feel about them or about
no, just about anything.
I've had relationships and friendships that have changed how I thought.
Right, and sometimes for the good, and sometimes
for the good,
I guess from what you exactly
yeah,
right.
Yeah. It's just
I won't
like,
bring up my college days.
I just had an open mind. I'm like, okay, how would you assess this situation?
Right.
And then I went back to my values. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. So we had a discussion about it. And then from there, that's how you start to grow with one another, start building other relationships with other people.
Well, and therein lies how relationships grow in some end. Because I had a flashback of my college days, KJ. Whoa, you talking about challenging the value system. Oh, my goodness. I was just sharing with my daughter, watching Greek step shows. And she's learning for math and cultural camp. They're doing studying a lot of Greek history and just how powerful, you know, our people have been. I mean, from royalty and creating everything so much that's on this earth that we use all day, every day. And they were doing a step routine. So I was telling her what makes that popular now, but where the root of that comes from. And it's interesting because me being from Washington, D.C. and, you know, Howard University, I went to Maryland University, but, you know, always around Howard near my Catholic high school. So you were familiar with, I would hear Kappas and Qs a lot. But when I went to Maryland University at the step show, I believe the Brothers of Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity came out first. And I had never seen that fraternity, because at Howard is just the Caps and Qs were just always visible. And shout out to all of the fraternities, Phi Beta Sigma and everybody else, and the amazing sororities. But I said, who are these guys, you know, that are handsome? They're incredible. They look like bumblebees because their colors are black and gold. And it was amazing to really learn about character and what that meant, and not from what you see, but what the root of that is. And I'm bringing Greek and you know, the Pan-Hellenic lifestyle up, because a lot of what they were founded on is values, principles, leaderships, and doing the right thing. We get see all these different, you know, colors from what they wear in their, you know, their step shows, but the root. And so I had to go, my point is I went back to explain to her what it actually represents, what these founders were all about, you know, starting with, you know, the Ladies of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, I mean, 1908. And so when, you know, I told all of that, she's like, wow, you know, I mean, this is deep. So I think too, we have to go back and look at where the root of how we think and feel. Be careful how we judge and talk about one another until you know that person's path and what value systems they came up on, or may not even have a structure one in place. So, you know, saying all that to say is, you know, just be aware of others. And also knowing, as we conclude, just some, this could be a whole another series. Dr. Tanji, I'm sure, will expound upon on her Talk to Tanji series on Facebook Live on Mondays. But, you know, realizing that it also takes a team. You know, a lot of times we think we're in challenges and battles in life and our journey alone, but we all need teams. That's our family. That's our extended family, our adopted family. A lot of people sometimes very adamant, the biological, if you're fortunate and blessed enough to, you know, have the biological there to support you 24/7. That's great. A lot of people don't, whether they have passed on or relationships have, you know, been severed for whatever reason. And you, it's okay to have adoptive family. I think family or a relationship that you call a sister, brother, auntie, can be anybody that is there. And when I say there, doesn't have to be, we always besties and we hanging out every day. It can be that person that, you know, regardless of what you're going through, what time it is, you know, it's going to be okay if you call and you pick up right where you started. It's just support. A lot of times people just need an ear. To me, that's a form of huge leadership that we forget about. You know what I mean? And to me, that's family. So to me, a leader is being family too, you know? And like you said, KJ, there are levels of it, and it evolves and it develops, and you have to grow into different positions of leadership from beginning, middle, and on. And we're always growing till we no longer breathing. So
I always tell myself, you always move past your emotion and move towards your intention.
Absolutely.
Who are you trying to impact?
Oh, who are you trying to impact? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who are you trying to impact? Yeah. And again, know that you can stay interactive with Dr. Tanji, Instagram, Facebook at Dr. Tanji Show. We have so many amazing announcements coming up. I mean, KJ, if we could just talk about what our business meetings are like and what's coming, where we're going. Oh my gosh. Just please stay interactive and stay tuned, and know that Dr. Tanji's ear and heart is always open to you. So reach out, and we'll have another way for you to like really stay on point and benefit as one of Dr. Tanji's VIP viewers and listeners. We, you know, doing life together and we mean that literally. Also, feel free to call in at any time, 323-203-0815. Coming up, we have an amazing guest. And KJ and I, we've been talking about the principle of leadership and everything that entails. And it's a process. It's a process. I mean, you got to think about it. When we're in school, it's a process to get from elementary school to middle school. There's another process from middle to high school and college, or if you just decide to become a power entrepreneur at any point in your life, there is a process. Stuff doesn't just pop up. And another key point of that is when you are in challenging and very different places in your life, you have setbacks and challenges. That's part of the process. I want you to know it's okay. Mate, you like Jeannie Jones. You guess what? It's not okay. It's not okay today. But guess what? Where it said trouble don't last always. And that is so accurate. But again, it goes back to mindset and these principles of leadership and the leadership you have within your own self, your own space, who you allow in your space. All of those things are what Dr. Tanji and I, KJ, we're starting to call, you know, just these jewels and nuggets of greatness that are important to assess every step of the way. And I'm very, very excited about our guest on the Dr. Tanji show. One, because women are such a force, always have been the leaders, whether it was home, in business, in terms of a lot of decision making. You hear oftentimes, you know, a great man is doing his thing because that woman is holding him down. The kids, a lot of things have to get done. And I'm so excited about what's happening from Hollywood to moms and single moms just coming to the forefront. I just got word that somebody, you know, I came up with in DC who doesn't have a political bone in her body. Not one. Nothing. Just jumped on Facebook and here we go with all the ills, but the power of social media and the platform you can create from it. She jumps on Facebook and is like, I'm running for mayor.
Okay.
And so my phone started blowing up and I got scared. I thought somebody passed away. I ain't gonna lie. You know, when that phone started hitting up and then all, I'm like, oh man, I can't take it right now. I said, God, just give me a moment. But it was a call of greatness. She's like, I'm at my job, my good government job. And I actually see things on my block, my community. And she is living in, the community, where Kevin Durant, you know, we call out the DMV, Prince George's County, where Kevin Durant is from, our NBA champion from the Warriors. And moving on, I'll get into that because I'll get a little salty about other places he's going. But that's my home voice, so that's where my loyalty is. But she's from that same community, lives there, and has been working for that community. But she was also seeing in her comments where funds and energy was going that just wasn't happening. She said every brown and black boy don't want to be a basketball player. Sorry. They would like to fly planes and create the next Uber app and run Silicon Valley too. So that's the way she came on Facebook Live. Ooh. And so I was like, wow, I just thought that was amazing. But you, just when you don't know, you got children. I mean, she has a full family, dog barking in the background. She was like, does this scare me? Yep. Do I know anything about politics? Nope. Am I, you know, brown girl who you've seen just singing on a mic, popular on the block in the club? Yep. Regular, just like you. But I have something to say. I've talked to people in the community. They want things done. And I dare me just sit here and do nothing. At that point, I am no better than anybody else, from the White House to the mayors, to our political leaders, to the leaders of our church. I'm no different. So that was her inspiration and God speaking to her to make a move. And that is when I say bold, but I was like, Wow.
Leaders don't wait.
That made me. No, I immediately went to the gym. I went to the gym. I was like, I need to get it together. I'm not running for mayor, even though people try to push me in that area. I know my place. And I think for me, it's been media. You look at this little microphone thing and always, you know, when I'm talking to Dr. Tanji and, you know, producing her show, I'm like, do you know how powerful this little itty bitty thing, you know, I'm like, and it goes out to all of these people and how we are changing and transforming lives. And if you know too much about a microphone, we're getting ready to talk about your influence on the mic and how you've evolved and what you're doing for your community, all the way from literature and coming back up on a whole nother level. But saying that to say is that, again, leadership can start right from your household. She's sitting on her deck making changes. I'm like, man. So you got to think about it. So now I got people on my Facebook running for mayor. Like, I got to do some more stuff. I got to get it together.
Makes you ask the question, what are you doing with your time?
What are you doing with your time? And like I said, it doesn't have to be, I want to stress, does not have to be on that platform. I actually find people a lot of times more potent what they're doing right on their blocks, right in their community, right in these organizations, whether it's Mocha Moms or somebody helping the, you know, volunteer fire department when somebody leaves stray dogs or somebody's in crisis, not knowing if they can raise a child and they're looking to make the decision on leaving a baby on a doorstep, whether taking the responsible route of having that child adopted. I mean, it's those critical moments that you change somebody's life. You do that for somebody else, you'd be surprised 5-10 years what they end up doing. Those are the people I have found that end up being leaders, that were, the seed was planted, and then look what happens. When you hear people start, I'm like, whoa. So think about what you're doing right on your own block. Right on your own block. I don't want to keep talking about media and Mike and artists and mayors and love all that. Love all that. And I suggest, and we will do another roundtable in terms of voting and how you feel about it. It's gotten to a point where people like, look, I'm just going to put matters in my own hands. This voting system, I think everybody feels like we just hoodwinked. We're tired. Yep. Sick and tired of being tired. And we're gonna make the change. And that's the only way it's going to happen. And talking about making change is the amazing spiritual leader, author, super mom, super leader, Lori Roberts. Welcome to the Dr. Tanji Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
I am so happy you are here. And talk to me about your power move. So many people know your name from, you know, your spiritual movement and actually working with so many people in the entertainment business, people who needed to construct a stronger spiritual walk. So for anybody who doesn't know you, I'll get into how I know you and your powerful evolution. But for those of you who are watching, we have so many people watching all over the country, especially what up ATL, DC, Houston, Baltimore, so many people interacting on at Dr. Tanji Show on Facebook and Instagram. Just introduce the walk of Lori Roberts.
The walk of Lori Roberts.
And I know we don't have hours, but...
Well, like you said, I've been mainly a singer most of my life. You know, I started at an early age and then transitioned into gospel music. And through.
So did you start out with R&B, a secular music? And then, Okay. And how old were you then?
I was probably in my early teens to early 20s. And then like mid 20s is when I turned my life around, gave my life to the Lord.
And what was happening at that point in your life to make you make a change?
Just growing. I had always known about God as a child, but I never had a true relationship with him. So I think once I got into a relationship with who is now my ex-husband, and he was involved in the church as well. And I started going to church, and you know how you just get that, I need to know more about this. I need to know who this Jesus is. I need to, you know, really, really submerge myself in this. And so I transitioned then and gave my life to him.
So that did help that you were around somebody, relationships that were already spiritually growing.
Yes.
Because I'm asking you that because so many of our young people are more interactive and raised by what they see. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. they're, you know, experiencing 30 and 40 year problems in middle school and they've experienced stuff. I'm going to, you know, you're at the Jeannie Jones mentoring program. I'm sitting down with these kids and they've done more than I
right.
have. I'm
oh,
like,
yeah.
oh, and I have to sit there and like, wow. Okay, Chuck.
Oh, yes.
What? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I see so, that all the time at right. the job where I work. I work with adolescents and
they are
into some heavy things at such a young age.
So my question is, knowing the challenges that they are dealing with and facing today, how do you introduce or how is your walk or light that helps them see? Because I have the youngins tell me all day, Miss Jeannie, you see what the pastor's doing? Oh, they do reality TV. They cheating, they taking money. And what can you say? I'm just being honest.
No,
I'm speaking for all of Dr. Tanji's VIPs that's sitting there that never call, that mm-hmm. never type anything, but mm-hmm. like, that's me. And I don't have anybody. And you're telling me to go someplace that tells me I'm not good enough, or they judge how I look mm-hmm. or what I've been through. So how can you advise me to find a space, or what is a beginning process they can do for their own spiritual growth, I think is what I'm asking.
Well, I think letting them know that, you know, first of all, we're all humans and we all have our own walks of life and things that we're dealing with internally. So nobody that's in the church or in the pulpit is perfect. We're all walking this thing out the best way we can.
They're not?
You know,
look
imagine
right, right?
that. They say the church is a hospital. You know, this is where all the, you
yeah,
know, the people
yeah.
that come that need help.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
it's about, for me, the way that I explain it to me, it's about your personal walk with God. If you get to know the Lord on a personal level, it, you know, he can let you know how to deal with or handle, you know, those types of situations that you get into that maybe you feel judged by someone who's supposed to be your brother or sister in Christ. But it's your personal relationship with God and dealing with your own things, getting your own healing. And then maybe you can help, you know, somebody that may have hurt you in the past. You can help them for whatever that they're dealing with that is making them hurt people. You know, it is, but it's, I think it's really about developing your personal relationship with him and not, just looking at everything else that's going on out there, you know.
I love what you just said, but I got to ask you because you're somebody, when I look at your evolution, I salute and commend your incredible disposition. You reaching, you working with kids on the daily and reaching out to this amazing gift we're getting ready to talk about. Let me ask you, you saying develop your own relationship. If you're in a space where everything and everybody around you crumbles, how do you decide what to do, how to take that walk? What suggestions do you have? For example, you mentioned ex-husband, you were in a very visible platform in Los Angeles, like a lot of pastors and wives are. Mm-hmm. You, like so many of us, we go through transition change. And it's got to be, I'll kid you not, as strong as I am, I don't know how I would come off if I'm going through personal change, have to be visible, show face, every day. I would probably be a hardcore hip-hop artist right now. No. Y'all like, KJ, you know I'm not, but you know I'm not lying. No, that's
know,
the bad
know
part about
lying.
It, but you know I'm
I know
not.
You're not lying.
I don't know. And I'm asking you to talk about that transition in life, saving face, being strong for children, congregations, friendships you have developed, how you walk in a God-like spirit when everything is going against, hey, well, everything you believe in and that faith and that walking, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and then everything goes 360. I'm just saying. What did you decide to do? What was your process? And again, I know we don't have a lot of time, but when you at your darkest moment, I want you to tell our VIPs what a few steps you took to reassess, to stop, talk about those things.
Mm-hmm. I will say first that I decided to be honest with God and real about my feelings with him. So it wasn't like this. I didn't try to put on that face of, oh, you know, everything's fine. You know, oh, bless
good for
the Lord.
You.
No, I had a shouting matches with God. I don't know if you can have it with him. He was just me shouting. Right. He was probably looking at me like, okay.
Oh, really? Okay.
Get out so then we can move on from
and
this.
And that's okay.
Yeah. And so for me, it was about being honest and being real with God about how I felt, you know, what I was going through. I was bad at God, you know, and obviously because, you know, it was kind of a public thing. But, you know, for me, I went into my personal closet, you know, and had allowed myself to feel things.
Were you more, are you the type that was okay with being with yourself? Did you have a couple of prayer friends, family, or when you were in those spaces, was it more solo self-assessment, or did you have what we call my daddy Frank Jones said, I didn't understand it back then. I was like, Daddy, whatever, I'm Jeannie Jones, I got a bunch of friends. My dad always told me, if you have one friend in life, consider yourself lucky. I was like, it's man crazy.
And now you get it.
I'm like, what? I'm trying to find a half a friend. No, Lord, I'm trying to look for a half, one half, a fourth. Okay, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but I had definitely a couple of friends that were my sidekicks, my ride or die, that I could call and just cry, and they just listen.
Yeah,
you know, they weren't trying to give me the pep talk. You know, just somebody that can be there with you. You know, so I definitely had, you know, some of those, and then my own personal time, you know. Yeah.
And I just want you to know, and I appreciate your being honest. I mean, that it's okay, and whatever it takes for your personal time, it's okay. Everybody's journey is different. Mm-hmm. But I think that we don't talk enough about being okay and having that yell out moment with mm-hmm. God. Everybody's like, it's always all together. Nah.
Right.
Nah, we jacked up.
Right.
That's the realness. Uh-huh. Nah, and it's okay. Mm-hmm.
And then there was those times when people would be like, oh my gosh, you're so strong. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't think so.
Like, thank you, but however.
Thank you. But I don't feel like I'm strong at the moment. But it's like, you don't realize your strength until after you look back and you're like, oh, that was a doozy, and I'm still here. You know?
I do. So, when I look at what women, what we do, I'm like, whoa.
And it's like, I didn't sign up to have to like prove to you that I'm strong. I didn't sign up for this, you know?
But you lucky I wasn't one of your your drive-bys, because I'm telling you, we would have had a hip-hop label right now going hard. And in the midst of your evolution as a leader, as a guide for so many young people in Los Angeles, you have created this beautiful children's book, Lay Your Head on the Pillow.
That's my baby.
Oh my gosh. Can you talk about the very first time you thought about doing this and why?
Well, here's the thing. I like I say on the back of the book there, my son is the one who inspired me to start writing, because he would ask me to tell him stories. Like, we would read his favorite books over and over again. Then he'd be like, okay, now can you make up a story? So I started doing that. And he was like,
so
what?
You have no experience on publishing. You're not this big super author, writer, book number three.
None whatsoever.
See?
None whatsoever.
See, that's what I'm talking
and
about.
And so I was in Reading, actually, during a really tough time in my life. I went there for inner healing, not to write a book. I was in my hotel room, and all of a sudden, I started writing this like poem, because it's kind of like a poem.
I love the way,
you know,
and I love it. So precious for babies. Moms, you are going to love this.
Yes.
Actually, I have a brown baby, and then usually you don't see a lot of books for the babies this early mm-hmm. like this. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I wasn't even looking to
do that. No, he is.
My mom calls him Little Dude.
And you know I'm getting ready to mess with you, right? Because you know, no, it's a good thing. The more I look at this, we talked about this and really had a great mini bonding session coming up in the elevator before the show. Mm-hmm. But I want him.
No, as a doll. Or something,
no,
right?
I do know.
No, I know.
You gotta make a doll. You gotta make a doll for it.
You know me. I'm like, so next time I see you, like,
where's my doll?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a holiday's coming, Valentine's Day. So at Jeannie Jones, there she go. But no, I immediately wanted him, and it may be his friend, like to go along with the book, because that's what we do. We cuddle with our babies, yeah. And you know, as a mom, it's everything. So go ahead about the how you decided to write the book.
So listen, it was a download from God. Like I literally.
Wow, download from God. So hashtag it, that.
Right. So because it's like normally, you know, because I'm in the process of writing other books too, but it's taken me forever. But this one was just like, just came within
it was
literally
ordained.
Like an hour or so.
Right.
And, but that was in 2013, Jeannie. So it 2018 is when I finally decided, okay, I need to do something. With
time
this.
To get
like,
this thing birthed. Yeah, you sitting around playing around.
Right. It's like, this is a gem to me. Like, this is a jewel, you know? And I'm like, I need to really get on this. And it just so happens that I had an ex-former coworker who knows a friend, has a friend who was a publisher. And literally, I had known this coworker for about 2 years, and probably 2 months before he left the job, we started talking about, like, me writing and... He's like, oh, I have a friend who's a publisher. I'm
just
like
really? That.
Just like that. I kid you not.
We had worked out.
Listen, we had talked, I don't know how many times prior to this.
That's what
years.
I'm saying. Y'all get about everything under the sun. And who would think that an ex-coworker, you know how we counsel people out, y'all.
Right.
We leave a church, leave the job, leave the group. Mm-hmm. And don't think that relationship might not be working. Right. For those even 5-10 years you done been there. But. That last few months. Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
The timing.
Exactly. Yes.
So connected you with their friend that was a publisher.
Mm-hmm. So a few more months goes by and I'm like, okay, I'm going to submit it to the publisher. And so the publisher sends me something back saying, thank you, but we're not accepting any submissions without illustrations right now. I didn't have an illustrator. So I'm like, okay. A couple more months goes by and I'm like, okay, I'm going to just post something on Facebook. Does anybody know of a good children's book illustrator? And I'm like, I don't, you know, I'm just going to do this. I don't know. And so I get, you know, people responding to that. And there's this one guy who is the illustrator for this book who sends me a message on Facebook Messenger. Mind you, the guy lives in the Philippines. Okay. So I'm like, okay, how is this supposed to work? But when I looked at his work, it was exactly what I envision for my book.
All the way in the Philippines.
All the way in the Philippines.
Look at God.
Imagine that. So, you know, I mean, it was definitely orchestrated by God. I mean, I'm so happy and proud and grateful for this little gem. Like, I love it.
It's amazing. Look, moms, you ain't got to look any further. Lay your head on the pillow, bedtime story. And what I love about this book, so many books that are classics for our children, Over the Moon. I mean, some of those classics. Mm-hmm. This can easily be the next wave of classic books.
I receive it.
Look, I like it because the words, the poetry, poetic format of it, the big words in children, this is something that they would memorize. You know, it 1, 2, and even before. Because if you begin reading to our babies, I mean, I'm talking early, it's amazing how much of a sponge and how they begin to evolve and form their own sentences and read. But I like the words that you chose to use too. Mm. Look, I'm a super mom. And both my parents were educators too. That's, So that is why this is adorable. And these illustrations are bomb.
Right?
No, I don't mean no harm. Laura, you're going to be mad at me. I'm going to be inboxing you, DM and harassing you like, but where's my character? And I'm loving these owls and these birds. I mean, oh my gosh, it's a kingdom.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. He was, he was a godsend. He was definitely a gift from God.
So how does this make you feel? Again, this is a thought from your son.
Mm-hmm.
You in the, you know, trying to spiritually find yourself, get back mm-hmm. on accord with God. Your son been telling you, write something. You doing it. And what time was it? Morning, night? What were you doing? When you?
It was probably in the afternoon.
Okay.
I was just in my hotel room.
You hanging out on Facebook, people throwing hate darts at our social media, but then you put that call out there, get an illustrator from the Philippines, and now this is here.
Now it's here.
A legacy.
You're gonna
make me cry. I'm just saying. A legacy for your babies, babies, babies,
yeah.
and everybody else's babies.
Yeah. I'm just so grateful and blessed. I really, really am. And my goal, you know, as a children's book author, is to really, you know, bring that sense of family, togetherness, unity. You know,
bring it back.
Yes, because that's what I really, really feel like. That's what is a solid foundation for our kids, is we got to spend time with them. We got to nurture them. We got to read to them. We got to laugh with them, play with them, love on them, teach them. Like, we need to get back.
Well, that's
to
what
that.
You're doing. And so when is mm-hmm. the, when is the Lori Roberts read time coming?
Ooh, I'm going to keep you posted because I'm not sure.
Okay. No. And then if anybody wants to purchase the book, stay interactive with you, mm-hmm. how do they reach out?
Okay. The books are available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or on my website, LoriTheWriter.com. And like I said, that's my website. There's a section there if you want to contact me or, you know.
I am so proud of you. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
And I'm waiting for him. I don't want to hold him. I'm just saying, even if you make one prototype, you can, you know, show it online, whatever. Be like, this belongs to Jeannie Jones. I have proof. No, Lord, I will send you this show. Like, yo, sis, remember?
Remember what we're talking about.
I need this. And again, KJ, this is amazing with Lori. Lay Your Head on My Pillow, a bedtime story. And it just goes back to the principles we talked about. And our focus today was leadership. And a key as we wrap up, a key principle in leadership: you were not born to make a difference, not just a living. You were born to make a difference and mm-hmm. not just a living. And this is, to me, what an example of this is and who you are
mm-hmm.
and you doing it. And
KJ,
it's time to get it on and popping. Okay. And we thank you so much. Don't forget, stay interactive with Dr. Tanji at Dr. Tanji Show. Make sure you interact with her live on Monday. Talk to Tanji on Facebook. We love you, Dr. Tanji. Feel better. I'm watching your pecs. Okay, Doc? I'm watching your pecs, all right? And I'll head to the gym with my book.
Oh.
Until next time, you know we're always doing life together.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a great one. Thanks, Lori.
Thank
KJ.
You.
Yay.
You're listening to The Dr. Tanji Show with Dr. Tanji Scott, only on LA Talk Radio.